Recordings have started.
Thank you very much, Aubrey. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the monthly NCSG Open Policy Meeting on Tuesday, 25th of July, 2015. On the call today, we have Rafik Dama, Patrick Lenihan, James Garman, Carlos Rao, Marsha, Adam Pig, Klaus Tor, Abby Doria, Robin Watt, Rudy Van Meek, Gigi Johnson, Stephanie Perrin, Azani Badi, Amur Asada, Daniel Opperman, Jeremy Malcolm, Matthew Shears, Olivia Kwame, Hyatt Green, Joao Carlos Caribe, and David Kate. And from staff myself, Mariam Bakoshi. I'd like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for translation purposes. Over to you, Rafik.
Thank you, Mariam, and thanks for everyone for joining today's call. Since we have several newcomers, so just to give background about this kind of call, we are trying usually to have a monthly call before the General Council call. It's an opportunity for all members to get the briefing and update about what's happening in terms of policies within the GNSL Council. And so we try to go through the GNSL agenda and to try to discuss and to find out how our elected NCAG councillor to GNSL Council are going to vote. And therefore also trying to get an update about what's happening in different working groups and so on. And we also have a kind of any other business that we can discuss about any relevant topic. For this time, we have also we will have a presentation from the Vice President in Europe for ICANN, Zemchak, and also we have Adam Pink from ICANN staff. We are going to try to give presentation about about strategy to engage civil society. I'm not sure if Zemchak is in the call, but at least we have Adam. And if you have any comment about the agenda, please do so. Otherwise, we'll start with the current item. Okay. So, can we hear? Can you hear me or not? I mean, it sounds like I'm not sure.
Hi, Rafik. We can hear you.
I hear you, Rafik.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Sorry, this time I'm in Tunis, so different connection, not the same phone number and so on. So I'm not sure about the setting is working or not. Adam, I think you will do the presentation for this time. Did you share your slides with Mariam, or I mean you can do it without slides? So. Can you speak? Can you pick up? And please, as a reminder, if you are not speaking, please mute yourself. Otherwise, we will have a lot of background noise, and so it will be really hard to listen to each other. What's the problem? We don't have Jean-Jacques to help with us, and I cannot hear cannot hear Adam. Hello, can you hear me well or not? Hello?
Yeah, I see if I can hear you clearly.
Yeah, I hear you fine.
Okay, thanks. I'm not sure. It sounds like someone in the water and a lot of noise around, so just checking. Okay, so let's really go with the general council agenda and see if we can get Jean-Jacques later on. I have trouble myself to see the Adobe Connect, so Marion, please share the agenda.
The agenda is up.
Okay. Okay, so let's start with the agenda. Okay, so Amar will help me, and he will go through the agenda and go for the first one, the first item. Amar, can you please go through that and maybe brief about the first item?
Sure. This is Amar. I can go through GNSO agenda for the meeting on the 23rd. Before I do start, maybe I should just check to see if JJ can... can talk right now. He's got his hand up in the Adobe Connect room. Jack, would you like to try now?
Let's try. Can you hear me at all?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear now.
Hello?
Yes.
Can you? Okay. Sorry about the issues. And thanks for having me on the call, and Adam. I will keep this very short. There is a document on Google Docs that I will refer you to. Basically, as many of you know, because they have worked with us over the past few months, we have done a few events around basically civil society engagement over the year, both in terms of information webinars on topical issues, but also outreach events. For instance, in the run-up to recent ICANN meetings, we have held sessions where we try to invite local civil society communities to hear from our own civil society communities about how they can be involved in ICANN, how it works, and where they should participate going forward. And basically, we've conducted the past 12 months almost on a pilot basis, both running our own events or supporting your own events as a community, whether NCUC or NCSG or NPOC and others. And what we'd like to do going forward is just give a little bit more structure to this so that basically we can be as effective as possible and as supportive of your efforts as possible. So we have, it's not rocket science. It's simply that we've wanted to put structure to it all. And there's three broad elements of how we look at our civil society engagement in ICANN. All of them with the long-term goal of basically enhancing civil society participation in ICANN, both in terms of numbers or in terms of diversity generally, to make sure we have proper geographic diversity, and that generally civil society is as impactful as it can in ICANN. Now, so the three key elements are basically around engagement activities, such as those I discussed, whether it's face-to-face workshops or webinars. It's communications, and then it's around capacity building, both in terms of newcomers, but also in terms of how we can help you, the existing civil society community in ICANN, in your own outreach efforts or in your own participation in ICANN's processes. And basically, we just want to do that increasingly better. So we have put a short document together, which describes this, what we have in mind, and the Google Doc link can be circulated for anyone to have a look at and comment and input. And the idea is it's very much staff here trying to support you, our community, and so we'd very much like to do this jointly. And, you know, if you think about it, a lot of you, as I said, have participated in activities along those lines before. So it's more of a continuation of what we've done. It's thinking about, well, where can we reach a wider spectrum of civil society people and organizations? Can we do things around national LGS, for instance, or NGO-specific conferences, things like RightsCon, for instance, that we've participated on? Or can we look at other big conferences like Republica and others, where it could be helpful to be present and talk about ICANN and how civil society can and should participate, that sort of thing. So we really need both your feedback on the suggestions we've made, and also just going forward, we hope a lot of work in partnership directly with you to further these objectives. So I might just stop here, and it was just a general overview, and what we hope to do is both collect your input on the Google Doc and then have a longer discussion after the summer, possibly as a face-to-face around the Dublin meeting. I might stop here and take any questions or comments at this stage. If that's all right.
Okay. Thank you, Jean-Jacques, and thank you for this quick presentation. Yes, it's just we are beginning the discussion here and sharing the document for people to comment and share feedback, and we will follow up after the summer holiday for those in the northern hemisphere. We'll try maybe to set up a webinar and so on and continue the discussion till Dublin. And I see that Amr, maybe he wants to ask a question. Yes, Amr.
Well, thanks, Rafiq and Jean-Jacques. Thank you very much for joining us on this call. I actually have two quick questions. First one is I was actually curious about ICANN's participation at RightsCon in Manila. And if you could maybe share with us whatever material that was presented there. I think that would be interesting to myself and maybe some others. So that would be really great if you could do that. Thank you. My second question is, if you are planning on holding any more outreach sessions during the ICANN meetings, like in Dublin and beyond, it would be really helpful, although I know probably very difficult, but it would be helpful if you could try as much as possible to avoid scheduling those at times that conflict with the GNSO council meetings of any sort, because we have some of the people who are really involved in GTLD policy development attend those meetings, and it's really some of these folks we would want to also participate in the outreach sessions, sort of to let whoever we're trying to do the outreach to get a really good understanding of why it is important for civil society to be involved in ICANN and GTLD policy development. I know this is not an easy request to accommodate, but to the best of your ability, that would be great. Thanks.
Yeah, so let me start with the latter one. I can only fully agree. There's various outreach efforts during the ICANN week. So you've got the one with the fellows and the newcomers, which is on the Sunday. And what they've done for the past two or three ICANN meetings is that the last hour of that session, which is usually around 4 p.m. on a Sunday, is an opportunity for the newcomers from those four or five key stakeholder categories to have about an hour with some of the leaders from each of the committees. So for civil society, you know, we just gather the newcomers, you know, in a corner of the fellows' room, and we have people like Bill and Rafiq and Wolf Ludwig and others that come and sort of say a bit more, answer questions, etc. And unfortunately, I realize that timing seems to clash with, I think it's the GNSO Council. So that's unfortunate, and we've fed that back to the fellows team. We'll see how we can try and work around that for Dublin. In terms of the other outreach efforts, now, For instance, in Buenos Aires, we did, NCUC, for instance, did an outreach event, which was late on the Saturday. And, we tried to make it so that it didn't clash too much, and that's going to remain our objective. So I'll be working in particular with the chair to try and make sure we don't conflict too much. I fully agree. We need to get our existing community and leadership properly in tune and meeting the potential newcomers or newcomers. So that's high on our minds. So point absolutely taken. On Rights Gone, that's just an example. Again, it was a pilot that was led or co-organized by one of my colleagues in Asia-Pac, Jia Rong. And basically, they organized a panel session around ICANN and the multi-stakeholder model, and in particular, how civil society gets involved in ICANN. I will dig up the details of who was on the panel. I cannot recall exactly if there was a PowerPoint, but I'll check. And usually when we've run a few of those workshops in the past year, and usually we have three or four people. Usually we try to bring in people from the community, whether it's, we've had Bill a couple of times, Rafik has been on a couple of webinars, we've had others, many others, especially in the run-up to ICANN meetings. And the idea is really to share experiences, to both explain the relevance of ICANN's work to all these other NGOs and civil society groups out there, and how it works in practice. You know, what does it mean to be involved in decision-making and policy-making, and then what impact it has. So there's more that we need to do. There's aspects we need to look at. You'll see in the short paper. You know, we need to look at the content we have, the material we have, and see if it's if it needs updating, if we can prepare material that would be even more relevant for the wider civil society community out there. So that's where we'll need to work in partnership with you. So as staff, we're committed to supporting you, but we'll also need your input, your brain power to guide us in the right direction, really.
Okay, thanks, Jean-Jacques. I think we have a question from Jens.
I just see a note from Rudy. He mentioned an NPOC. I did mention NPOC, but of course they too had their outreach events in Buenos Aires, and we've done a couple of things with them in the past. So I'll just give a few events. It's not NPOC is also very active, of course. It's the whole community in there. We will also consider working with at large in the same perspective. So it's the broader civil society community in ICANN we're talking about.
Okay. Thanks, Jean-Jacques. Jim?
Hi, James Gallen. So thank you, Jean-Jacques, for presenting on this. I think it's a great draft to start with, and I think particularly of interest to a lot of the people here is the event that we had in Buenos Aires was quite successful. It drove a lot of civil society events in the Latin American region, and we've had a number of new members come out of that, and I think it was very successful. Personally, I would like to see something like that move from possibly an ad hoc basis to something more structured that we look at as a capacity building exercise going forward in conjunction with her team. And second, I just want to call out for those who may not know. So I noticed that we have Adam Peake both on the call, and he's down as the global coordinator for part of this effort. And for those that don't know Adam, he has a long history within non-commercial in ICANN, so it's great to see him moving into a position where he will be supporting civil society.
Okay. Thanks, Jim. And I see that Stephanie wants to add a further comment. Stephanie?
Thanks very much. I just wanted to, Stephanie Perrin for the record, I just wanted to say that when I joined NCUC and ALAC a couple of years ago now, I found it very confusing as a new person trying to understand the roles and voting procedures and the, you know, who actually represents the kind of civil society that I represent. And so I don't know what you're using for communications materials when you go out on these outreach sessions, but a brochure that explained the difference between, I guess it's basically the three groups, NCUC, NPOC, NCSG as the umbrella and ALAC would probably be helpful because it took me a while to figure it out, and I still don't know what ALAC does. So, you know, just thought I'd throw that in.
Yeah, absolutely. Stephanie, I've mentioned briefly content, and it's mentioned also in the paper. What we'd like to do as one of the first steps is just really do a catalogue of the material that we have that's civil society related, and that includes material that each of the constituencies have. I've been looking at the brochures myself, and it's true. I mean, if we look at large to an extent, and certainly NPOC and NCUC, depending on which part of the respective brochures we look at, they look the same. But actually, if you look at some of more of the detail, it's quite nicely defined, but I think we need to work on that and make it as clear as we can to the newcomers. I mean, that's very, very important. So that's, again, where hopefully we can work together on that, partly because, for instance, personally, I probably don't have access or visibility on all the material that you guys have. So I'll need to get your input on that.
Okay. Thanks, Jean-Jacques. I think we are really just starting discussion here, and I see that a lot of input is coming. That's really a good start. So I'm not sure if there are other questions, but I see several comments in the chat, so maybe you should like try to compile them later on and share. And we will share the document and the list too, so we can keep the discussion going on. Jean-Jacques, do you want to add something before? Or
I'm just trying to read. There's a lot of comments on the chat. Just to be very clear again, please have a look at the Google Doc. Scoping or defining what is civil society is always an exercise. We've tried to scope it in there, and I welcome your feedback on that. The free ICANN communities that we will be focusing on will be MTSG and within it NPOC and NCUC, and then to an extent at large in respect to the non-commercial and individual end-user part of at large. So, this wants to be inclusive, okay? So let me be very clear on that. And I'd appreciate your feedback on the scope and as for everything else.
Not sure if it's the
standard.
It's an old or new hat. Stefan, you want to add something? Okay. Thanks again, Jack. I think we went over what we expected as the time allocated. So, Marion, can you please find out to stop this? Okay. Thanks, Jean-Jacques, again for this presentation.
I'll drop off the
we'll try to compile what I...
Thank you, Rafik.
Sorry.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Thanks. So we will try to compile all the comments in the chat. We will have the transcript anyway, and we will share the document and to try to get more input. And after, hopefully in September, we can organize another, maybe more, I'd say, just for this topic, webinar. And so we can work again more in the document to update it with all the feedback collected. Okay, thanks again, and we need to move on to our next agenda item. So we spent 30 minutes, so thanks. Okay, let's go back to the GNSO agenda, and the first item is about the council vote for the motion to approve a GNSO issue of the GAC communique from Buenos Aires. And Hopefully, if we can have someone from GNSO Council who can explain what's intended here and the content of the motion and so on. Armor, can you please volunteer for this?
Sure. This is Armor. I can give an overview of this. I don't know if Carlos would like to take a stab at it first, then I can maybe follow up on him, because if I'm not mistaken, I believe Carlos was involved in this specific GNSO Council project. He's got his hands up in VAC.
Okay. I see that. Carlos wants to, I think. Yeah. Carlos? Carlos, can you speak up? Carlos, I'm not sure. Can you try to speak?
All right, Rafi, this is Armor again. If Carlos is having some audio difficulty, I can...
Okay, I see also Stephanie raising her hand. Stephanie, you want to speak? Stephanie, please go ahead.
I keep lowering my hand and it keeps going back up again. I don't know what's going on.
Okay, I think it's really funny. I had a really hard time to hear her. We will check later what this all the issue with audio is really bad. Yes, Anna.
Thanks for helping me hear me. Can anyone hear me?
Yes, you can hear me. Yeah?
Votre correspondant vous a mis en attente. Merci de patienter quelques instants. Votre correspondant vous a mis en attente. Merci de patienter quelques instants. Votre correspondant vous a mis en attente. Merci de patienter quelques instants. Votre
correspondant. Hey, this is Armor again.
Yes.
I just figured I'd take a stab at doing an overview of this motion until Carlos gets on audio. This is a relatively new practice that the GNSO Council has begun to adopt, and it's specifically regarding GAC communiques and advice to the ICANN board. What the GNSO Council kind of came up with was a method using a template to sort of address GAC advice items that are that have any relevance to the GNSO's work, and the purpose of this is not to communicate with the GAC so much as for the GNSO Council to inform the ICANN board on where the GNSO stands on any given advice by the GAC on the GNSO or GTLD issues. So, if I'm not mistaken, this is the first actual bit of GNSO Council input to the board on GAC advice, and it's mostly stuff relating to GTLD safeguards, some items from the GAC advice on the PICS, the Public Interest Commitment Specifications, registry agreements. As well as I believe something regarding the community priority evaluation in the new GTLT round that is going to kick off soon. So basically, the GNSO Council has populated this template to tell the ICANN board that these issues are all being addressed.
Votre correspondant vous a mis en attente. Merci de patienter quelques instants. Votre correspondant vous a mis en attente. Merci de patienter quelques instants. Votre correspondant vous a mis en attente. Merci de patienter quelques instants.
Hi. Can you please? Okay, thanks. All right, so I was saying that this current motion is about the first template to sort of be filled out in response to GAC advice. And like I said, the items are on community priority evaluation in the next GTLD round, as well as... Sorry, someone's trying to speak. Okay. Some advice on the ICANN board implementing some of the public interest commitment specifications of the registry agreement, advice from the GAC to the board in prior communiques. Basically what the GSO Council has done in responding to this or in trying to inform the ICANN board on some relevant information they might need to react to the GAC communique is basically telling them that these things are all going to be included as part of the preliminary and final issue reports of the new GTLD round PDP that is about to kick off. If you recall the last GNSO Council meeting in Buenos Aires, there was a motion to submit a request for an issues report on this issue, on the new GTLD program, on a new PDP for the new GTLD round. And recently the GNSO Council received an email from ICANN staff requesting to postpone the drafting or publication of the preliminary issues report. This is a common practice if ICANN staff feel they need more time to work on it, and since this is a big sort of issue, I think it's understandable that they did make this request. But that's basically what the motion is. Personally, I've gone over the document that the GSO Council is suggesting to send to the ICANN board. I think the answers are quite they're all right as far as I can tell, and they're in line with what my personal belief is, that the GNSO is the place where GTLD policy development should happen, as opposed to GAC giving advice to the ICANN board and ICANN board acting on it sort of without going through the GNSO. So, I hope I gave a clear overview. I know we had a few audio interruptions and it's kind of thrown me off, but if there are any questions, I would be happy to answer. And I hope that Carlos is back on audio because he's actually involved in this project of council responding or sending briefings to the ICANN board regarding GAC advice. So, any questions? None? Okay, well, I'm personally planning on voting in favor of this motion unless there are any objections from other councillors. I don't see any reason to. I wouldn't mind having a discussion on this if someone has a reason why we shouldn't vote in favor of it. But I plan on voting in favor of this motion. Thanks.
I think he's trying to speak, and he'll be back on the line in a minute.
Okay, so this is Amr again. Maybe I'll just carry on with the GNSO Council agenda until Rafiq gets back on the line. Miriam, we have had some serious problems with audio today, I think.
Yes, I apologize.
Hello, it's Rafiq speaking.
A participant. and we have muted his line. Thank you.
Hello.
Rafiq is back on, so I'll just hand the gavel back to him. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. I'm not sure why I was muted. anyway, thanks, Amr, for the presentation. And we will try to figure out about all those issues regarding the conf call today. We didn't change the technology, I mean the provider or whatever, it's the same. But we will try to ask the ICANN IT teams to do a review and check what's this the problem. And maybe we can ask for more improvement or using another provider for next call. For now, we will try to overcome this and moving forward. Okay, I don't see really any disagreement with voting yes for this motion, but if there is any comment or question, please do so. Okay.
This is Omar again.
I think we can move to
one more thing.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I just wanted to say that the audio problems throw me a bit off my game, but I am very aware that we have a number of new members on today's call, and I'm personally guessing that my presentation of this topic was very confusing for them. I would just like to reassure them that we really appreciate new members joining these calls, and please make it a regular thing. And please do ask questions either by raising your hand in the Adobe Connect room or by putting them in the chat, and we will do everything we can to answer those. The purpose of these calls is not just to sort of discuss the policy issues, but also to update our membership on what's going on. And so please, if there is anything, if you have a question on anything, if there is anything you don't understand, we try to, as much as possible, not to use acronyms, but use the full like terms of whatever it is we're saying, but please do not be shy to ask questions. We're here to help. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Amr. And yes, really thanks for all the new member who joined us today. Sorry for all the annoyance because kind of technical issue we have with the call, but. Anyway, if you want to ask any question, please feel free to do so. You can do in the chat. If you don't want to speak up, it can be the most easiest way. But yeah, please do so. Okay, let's move to the next agenda item, and it's about an update and discussion regarding the purpose of the new GTID registration data policy development process. And I think, Amr, you shared several information about this in the NCAG list, and there is already ongoing discussion. I think you can do kind of maybe give a briefing to explain about, this issue, and also maybe explain more about the policy development process, since this is a particular case here. So, Amr, can you do so? Hello.
I'm afraid the system is down because I have no computer connection anymore, Rafiq. I'm on the bridge, but my computer just lost connection.
Me too. I've lost the Adobe Connect.
Yes.
Just the phone
is. Adobe is down.
Yeah, it went down for me too.
Okay. Really bad. I thought that I have only this problem. Because the Adobe Connect is rebooting for me many times, I just
got a breach, but the computer system is down. This is Carlos, by the way. Thank you, Rafi.
I'm
trying to reconnect and it's down. If there is any chance to redo it in an hour or two, it would be great, Rafiq. The discussion on the policy agenda, on the GNSO Council agenda, this is always very valuable preparation, and We should try to program this.
Yes, Carlos, I'm not sure we can do so quickly, and if people have other calls later after this.
Yes, no, but...
So, I mean, I will have to follow up with this. It's really unacceptable, and it's the kind of minimal support that we are getting from ICANN. If we cannot even handle a monthly call, I mean, it's really questionable what kind of support we are getting.
But I was in a call an hour ago, and it was perfect. I was in a call on Workstream 2 of accountability, and it worked perfectly. Everything was perfect. I don't know how can they change from one to the other one.
Okay, I'm not sure right now.
Well, let's take it from here and... Just let's send. Oh, I'm out. I think I'm on again. I think we have the platform running again. No.
Okay, please. I'm trying to check.
I have the platform, but no audio. Hello.
Okay.
It's the platform is coming up again slowly.
Okay, it sounds it's the issue is with our provider Verizon, so we'll have to check.
Rudy is very upset.
So you get access to the Adobe Connect?
Yes, it's up again. Do you have it?
Okay, I'm trying to connect.
Yes. And I've just started the audio bridge. So it's okay.
Should we have it now?
Yeah.
Calling center.
Thank you for calling your back, Lucy.
Okay, we're up and going.
Thank you for calling your back, Lucy.
I should already be in a call right now.
I can hear you, Amber.
All right, because I'm on the call.
Yeah,
I have an operator on with me.
Okay, Amir, can you please take over from here for going through the agenda, since it's about the BDD presentation, you volunteered to do so, and I will try to see in the background what's the issue here, okay?
Yeah, I would be happy to take over the agenda, except I also have an operator in my ear, so it's a bit disorienting.
Hello.
Oh, that's Stephanie.
Yeah, it should be okay now, and...
I can hear Stephanie dialing in, talking to the operator. I think that's what's going on.
And I'm back to playing assistant administrator, so I'm letting people into the call.
Oh, cool. Thanks for that, Aubrey.
Okay. I think we are back. Okay, Stephanie, please mute yourself. Yeah. Okay. Hello, everyone. We are back. And please mute yourself if you are not speaking. So we are trying to continue as much as possible to go through the agenda. And Amar will give kind of explanation about the item number 5, which is about the purpose of new GSPID registration data policy development process. So Amar, please go ahead.
This is Amar. Yeah, I'm personally getting a lot of echo, So if anyone out there has, hello.
Yes, Alma. I can hear you.
Okay, I think the audio in the AC room was activated and everyone is off of mute. Hi,
Yes, Ahmed, I can hear you. So.
All right, can anyone else hear an operator speaking, or is it just me?
I don't hear an operator.
That is so weird. Okay. All right. I'm sorry. We're on the agenda item right now for the new domain name registration directory services.
Yes, Amma. So, and I ask you if you can make the presentation.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm listening to James dialing in as well as someone else. It's very confusing. Hold on. I'm going to try to get on the audio in the AC room. Just give me a second.
Okay.
Can you hear me? Hello, can I be heard?
I can still hear you.
All right, thanks, and I really apologize about this. Okay, this is a discussion item on the next council agenda, which is the purpose of new GTLD registration data policy development process. Okay, this is what we more commonly know as the post-expert working group, PDP, I'm guessing that Avery probably has a lot more to say about this because she was involved in a group that consisted of some GNSO counselors and board members trying to work out the issues report, which is the first phase in a policy development process, so just scoping what issues need to be addressed or considered in any given PDP or policy development process. However, the preliminary issues report, which was drafted by staff and is the result of the work of this group between the select few GNSO counselors and ICANN board members, is now open for public comment. It has been open for public comment for a few days now. And I believe the public comment period for that closes on September 6th. So we do have some time to work on this. Personally, I've gone through the issues report. It's quite a good one, actually. It includes things dating back to a HWIS task force final report published in 2003, all the way up to ongoing policy development processes like the one on privacy and proxy service accreditation, as well as the ongoing implementation of the thick WHOIS policy and the translation and transliteration of contact information policy, which is now being considered by the board. So there's an open public comment for that. I'm not sure if NCSG wants to submit a comment or not, but the GNSO Council adopted the final report recommendations of that PDP working group, and that is now on the agenda for the next board meeting following the closure of the public comments period on that. But yeah, like I said, this is a pretty good roundup of everything WHOIS that has ever taken place at ICANN, at least as far as I can tell. If Stephanie is on the call, she might be happy to know that this issues report even includes her dissenting comments to the expert working group recommendations. So even that is in there. It really does include everything. And from in terms of the function or purpose of a preliminary issues report, I think this one does the job very well. Remember, right now it is not the time to discuss the substantive issues of a given policy. It is more about just about scoping it, making sure that everything that needs to be considered is in there, so that when this does go to a PDP working group, we don't try to bring something up and realize that it is out of scope. So that is really the purpose of this report right now. It is not to discuss the substantive policy issues. But from a substantive policy issues perspective, I guess the one thing that I'm really not happy to see in there and would like some advice or feedback from other NCSGers on the relevance of this to the issues report is a GAC communique regarding who is from, I think it was given by the GAC back in 2007. And basically they're saying in this communique that the purpose of who is to assist law enforcement in battling online crime and cyber terrorism and that sort of thing. And that's no good at all from a policy perspective. But I just do wonder, I guess in all fairness, it may be warranted to include that in an issues report. It's just that I guess it's the only thing that comes into this report that is not generated, originally generated by the GNSO, but rather by the Government Advisory Committee. And I'm not too happy seeing that in there. But like I said, the purpose here is really to scope the issue and make sure that everything is considered. I guess there's also a list of points or items in a framework that is meant to sort of guide how this PDP should take place. There's several bullets on those. I'm looking at them right now. One of them is sort of like the users or the purpose of a new GTLD registration data service, how to handle gated access, data accuracy issues, data elements, privacy, coexistence, compliance, system model, cost, benefits, and risks. I think the coexistence issue is sort of like how the current existing WHOIS system would sort of coexist with the transition to a next one. So this is something that the PDP working group will have to consider. Apart from that, I think it's a really good one. And one of the things I was very pleased to also see included is a lot of consideration regarding internationalized domain name registration services. So I'm glad to see that in there. Although there actually is an expert working group that specifically dealt with that, with internationalized registration data services, and I see no mention of their final report, which was published a couple of months ago in this issues report. So this is something we might want to point to. But I think sort of in other areas of this issues report, although that expert working group's work was not specifically mentioned, but you could sort of consider that it was included in other random parts of this issue report. I would recommend that folks who are interested in WHOIS, who are interested in privacy, and sort of just take a look in this. It's not a very difficult document to read. It's actually fairly easy. But like I said, I think from an issues report perspective, I think it's a rather good one. I think staff worked really hard to make sure to include everything in this report, and I'm guessing that's probably because we gave them such a hard time over the past couple of years regarding the process and how to sort of integrate the expert working group process, which was an ad hoc process, with the traditional GNSO policy development process. So I think that's all I've got for now. I don't know if Avri has anything she would like to add, but I also see Stephanie's hand is up. Thanks.
Thanks, Amar. It's really good report and introduction. And I think we have already someone who wants to ask a question. I see Stephanie in the queue. Yes, Stephanie?
Yes, hi. Thanks very much. I think that was a great summary. Stephanie Perrin for the record. The scoping issue is really quite important, and I just wanted to raise something that has been coming up in the Who Is Conflict with Law group, which is basically an implementation group implementing a 2005 policy, I believe. One of the things that does not appear to change and evolve as the Internet expands and grows is the insistence on Who Is as a law enforcement mechanism, as Amar has pointed out. And the fact of the matter is, and those who know me know I'm doing my doctorate on this, when that original policy was crafted, data protection law was hanging in the balance in Europe, and the United States was winning in terms of not getting data protection law in. The Charter of Human Rights in Europe had not passed. So, quite frankly, to allow a policy that now no longer meets constitutional law and is out of step with 15 years of data protection development is, in my view, wrong. And so when I look at the scope, I want to make sure that we are not paving the cow path, as it were, that we are not old policy and refusing to look at it again. And that, I think, is one of the risks in this otherwise excellent report. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Stephanie. Okay, so, yes, Amar, I think you want to respond here.
Yeah, thanks, Rafiq, and thanks, Stephanie, for bringing that. That is actually an important item, and I just wanted to also mention that the ICANN policy on handling HUWIS conflicts with national laws is also something that is in the issues report here, and so this is something we need to keep a close eye on. Personally, I think since this PDP is starting, I think this is going to be one of the most important PDPs that the GNSO has handled. This is a board-initiated policy development process, so we will be proceeding to a PDP working group. The GNSO Council has nothing to say about that. I think it would be helpful if Stephanie, Kathy, and a lot of others sort of gave a sequence of webinars on the important issues that need to be considered, because I think if we don't, this is a process that's going to take a long time if we don't coordinate our work on this early on in the process. We're going to start getting lost in the work, and this is something that will ultimately harm us as a stakeholder group representing non-commercial registrants, because on the other side of this, we have the intellectual property constituency and the business constituency, and I'm sure there's going to be GAC participation in this or input in one form or another. These guys are going to be pretty well coordinated. They're going to be taking this very seriously, and it's going to be extremely difficult keeping up with them on a long-term project if we don't get it right from the start. So I think we have an opportunity now. We should take it and hopefully get a really good team on this. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Alma. Aubrey?
Thanks. Aubrey speaking. Just one quick comment, and I haven't had a chance to read this version of it yet. One thing that I don't know whether it's in there, but perhaps, Amma, you've already read it, but if it's not, it's something that we can comment on either in any case. It's every PDP has the option of a rights impact analysis. That's part of the PDP process. Something I'm trying to get into the bylaws with no great success, but that's beside the point. So, if this doesn't have it, I think a lot of Stephanie's concerns in terms of the rights as they have been constitutionally expressed is something that we can point to and get quite explicit about the requirements for a rights impact analysis that takes all those things into account. So that's probably one important thing to look at in terms of getting a comment in. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Avery. Okay, Amar, so you want to respond to this?
Yeah, this is Amar again. And, I just wanted to say I fully agree with Avery, and thank you for bringing that up. Because, well, now there is going to be, there will possibly be a, and there actually will be, a draft charter for the PDP working group as part of the final issues report, and this will be based on the public comments input we provide now. I guess we really should be looking at this report not just as an issues report, but also in terms of what we want to see in the charter. If we do want to spell something out like an impact analysis on rights, then we should make that clear in whatever comment we submit now. So I just wanted to really agree with Avery and thank her for pointing that out. Thanks.
Okay, thanks. So I see a lot of agreement here and how we should proceed. So hopefully we can make this as kind of maybe action items to follow up to be sure that we follow the approach. Any further comment on this topic or question? Okay. I think we can move forward to the next. Okay, to the next agenda item, which is an update and discussion about the cross-community working group and enhancing ICANN accountability working group. So I guess this is more an update on what happened last week meetings in Paris. So we got several... attending the meeting in Paris, and also several folks attended remotely. So, if I can ask here, Robin, since she is our representative to the cross-community working group and accountability, if she can give us some updates what happened last week, and maybe how we should follow up for this, and what can be our next actions. Robin, can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. So, I just got back yesterday from the Paris meeting and the CCWG, and James and Ed and Avery were also there from NCSG, so we had a nice team of people. And so it was a two-day meeting, and some of the issues that we focused on was, one, trying to come down to an acceptable reference model for the community mechanism to try to the means by which the community will exercise the powers that the community would like to have with respect to ICANN and some of the board actions. So before we were talking about a membership model or a designator model. There were some who were talking about sort of the voluntary model, which is staying where we are today, basically. And then the lawyers have proposed that we sort of evolve the membership model to become a single member model, whereby all of the SOs and ACs would be parts of the single member of ICANN, which is the community. So you could maybe think of it as sort of a community member model. And there seemed to be some momentum going towards that evolution. For one thing, my concern with the membership model, as we were talking about it before, was that we would be empowering the very well-heeled among us, basically the contracted parties, and particularly the CSG, to be able to file derivative lawsuits anytime they wanted to put pressure on ICANN and a policy issue. And so that was my concern with the membership model before. However, I think perhaps this sole member or community member model can address that pretty well by ensuring that there must be unanimity amongst the community in order to be able to bring a derivative lawsuit, which, of course, there's never going to be unless ICANN has really screwed up, and then we would probably want such a thing. So that seems to address some of my concerns with respect to the membership model. However, when it comes to exercising all of these powers, and we're talking about the powers being approving bylaws and approving the budget and approving the, or I should say rather not approving, but rejecting the rights to reject the budget and strategic plan, and being able to remove the directors, both the one, the individual one that a SO appointed, and also sort of a spill the total board proposal. So these are the community powers that we're talking about. And so in order to exercise one of those, any of those powers, really what's going to be important is where do we set the thresholds for being able to exercise some of these powers. And so we have to think about this carefully, because on the one hand, we don't want it to require unanimity in order to be able to exercise the right to be able to get the bylaws enforced against ICANN, bringing in IRP, for example. Think about the trademark plus 50 example and how Fadi broke the policy in order to appease the CSG on that issue. We would never be able to get relief under a single member model if we have to have unanimity in order to bring a bylaws matter. There's an awfully loud noise on the line suddenly. I don't know what that is, but I'll try to carry on despite it. So because the CSG would never agree, for example, to bring an IRP against ICANN for violating the bylaws by calling the GNSO policy, which was exact match only, deciding to interpret that as trademark plus 50. So that's a violation of the bylaws that an objective party would understand, but the party who benefited from that, who was lobbying for that, the CSG, would never agree that that was a bylaws violation, and so we wouldn't be able, I think, to bring a successful action if we have to be all on the same page, 100% unanimity, in order to... It's really hard to talk with this language blaring in my ear. I don't know what it is. Do other people hear that as well? Is it just me?
Yeah, I hear it as well, but I don't see it as being an Adobe Connect person, so it's probably somebody on a phone.
So, I'll try to carry on. So,
Robin?
Yes.
One sec. Mariam, please mute everyone who's not speaking and just keep Robin not muted so she can continue presentation. I'm sorry, Robert, please go ahead.
That's okay, thanks. Okay, so on the other hand, we want to be able to, we don't want a single stakeholder group or a single constituency to be able to constantly bring in IRP actions in order to influence the policy development process. So we have to find a balance somehow on these different powers and how we exercise them, on what the threshold would be, and how we constrain or craft that in some way to ensure that a case like trademark plus 50, where there's going to be somebody who is going to agree with what staff did, and so if we require unanimity of the community in order to act in that case, we wouldn't have been able to get any relief under a single member model if the threshold is set that high. However, we don't want it set so low that every time there's a policy issue, the intellectual property constituency or the CSG is going to be able to unilaterally bring an IRP and frighten ICANN, basically threaten ICANN to bend a little bit in order to what it wants to do, what the CSG wants to do on a particular policy issue, just be able to use that as leverage, the threat of bringing in IRP to get what they want through other means. So I think that's really what's going to be crucial here. And so for the next basically 2 weeks, we have until July 31st to get the second iteration of our report out, and then it's going to be out for a 40-day public comment period. So it's going to be really hardcore for the next 10 days or so, where we have three or four meetings just about every weekday, and the email is literally hundreds of emails a day, and I don't know how anyone can really keep up with it. It is the most excruciating and burdensome ICANN working group I've ever been on. But we have until July 31st to hammer out a lot of these details on these thresholds, and you know, this is very important. And then our report goes out for a 40-day public comment period. So that's really what's going on with the community mechanism. Now, there are also issues like we're reforming the reconsideration request, and the proposals that we've got in there now aren't at all controversial, and I think they're just going to fly through. Reforming the IRP, and this is very important because everything that we're doing, all of the fixes, all of the powers that we're creating, all are pretty much hinging upon the IRP as the means of enforcement. So we have to be especially sure that we get the IRP right. And but frankly, I'm pretty confident with the way the IRP reform is going right now. So we do have a lot more details to work out. Now, there are some things that I'm concerned about with the proposal, and one is which the extent to which we are empowering GAC and at large to a much larger extent than they currently are in the existing structure at ICANN, and I think that that's troubling for a number of reasons. Another concern that I have I just lost my train of thought on that. But so there's this issue of how many votes each of the different SOs and ACs would get, and it's really hard to get the proposal to be moved away from sort of this equal votes, even though it's rather arbitrary in terms of who gets included in that you get an equal share. So I think that remains to be a concern. The issue of whether or not some issue of human rights will be included is a fundamental core value of ICANN. That's something that a number of us in NCSG have been trying to push for, and of course we get the usual pushback from business and even GAC and contracted parties, although I think we may have made some traction on that in the last couple of days, and we may be able to get some sort of reference to human rights in the core values. I really like Ed's proposal about really specifically defining what we're talking about as freedom of expression, which includes fair use, privacy, and due process, although due process is arguably in the bylaws already as a fair, objective, non-discriminatory process. So these are some of the open issues that we're going to be working on in general for the next 2 weeks or so as we come to a conclusion with our final report. So maybe I've gone on quite a lot there, so let me stop there and see if there are any questions, or if any of the other participants who've been very active on this want to disagree with something that I've said or add to something that I've said, because I'm sure I've forgotten something important. So let's open up a queue on this. Thanks.
Thanks for this. And maybe just to save this for now, I think we should have a webinar about this topic in the coming weeks. So we should do some planning and prepare for it. So it will give maybe more details about what was discussed and what we are getting as proposal. In my understanding, we will have also soon public comments coming in August. So we should have just a webinar for this, for the accountability discussion. Thanks again, Robin, for this. So we go now to Ed. Thanks to Ed. Ed, if you want to speak now. Ed? Can you hear me?
I don't share a lot of concern about access to the IRP, but the fact is we don't know. I'll give you an example. In the WPQ,
Ed?
We talked for about 15
Ed,
minutes.
Sorry.
Sorry. Can you hear me, repeat?
Ed, sorry. I think I have a trouble to hear you well.
Okay, is this any better?
Can you speak more louder? Yes, that's much better.
Okay, we'll do this. Sorry.
Yes, that's much better.
I want to compliment Robin, I don't share her concern about access to the IRP. I think there's been a bit of a confusion about who would get access, but as I understand it, and I confirmed this with one of the chairs this afternoon, we as NCSG would be able to access the IRP ourselves. It all comes down to when we enforce it down the road, how to enforce an IRP decision. But besides the point, where Robin's right on is we don't know a lot of the details. We have this broad outline. On the WP2 call, for example, today, this is how intricate it is. We had a large argument over whether the word necessary or appropriate should be used in one of the mission statements. And that may not seem like it's important, but when you start applying language in an IRP, things like that are going to determine the outcomes for years. So we're really right now at the stage of determining what it is we've already determined. And being able to monitor the language so the corporate folks with their attorneys aren't able to manipulate the process is really very important right now. And as Robin says, how we construct the IRP is absolutely key. Because we are giving up, working internally, the right to go to court until we've gone through an IRP. We're going to be working on that tomorrow on a call, on a WP2 call. So anybody interested in joining, please look at the schedule and join us for that, because I think it's going to be one of the key moments. Thanks. Thanks, Pete. Thanks, everybody.
Okay. Thanks, Ed. Aubrey, you want to speak?
Briefly. Robin covered it all quite well, except that at today's WP2 call, I don't know if Robin was on it, we ended up in a stalemate on the human rights language and the requirement for always understanding the impact of our policies on human rights. So it basically got deadlocked in the WP2, and so it's going to be the item of discussion on later today's full CCWG call. But that seems to be one that the intellectual property people are pushing against it quite strongly, because they believe that the only reason anybody wants to talk about human rights is because we want to hurt intellectual property. And they keep saying we don't understand it, it's too hard, it's something we need to put off, and such. So unfortunately, I have to be a little bit more pessimistic than Robin was about us getting close to it. And just wanted to bring that up. And also that I will be missing tomorrow's WP2 call, because I have a IETF meeting at the IETF that I have to go to. So I won't be there to support anything on that tomorrow. That's it. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Avery, and good luck with your presentation tomorrow about standards and human rights in IETF. Okay. Anyone want to comment or ask a question here? Okay. If no, so we will follow up with having a webinar, and we try to prepare material and so on, so we can respond to all questions and also to prepare for the coming public comments. The next agenda item, it's about the discussion and update in the proposed cross-community working group in UGTLD auction proceeds. NCAG appointed two representatives to the drafting team, who are Klaus and Olivier. My understanding, there was already a meeting for the drafting team in Buenos Aires. So it will be great if we can get some updates what happened there about that discussion in Buenos Aires session. And so if you, anyone in the council has any update about what's going on there. Yes, Amr?
Thanks, Rafiq. This is Amr. I don't believe the council has been receiving any updates on this in between council meetings, and even the ones we do get in council meetings seem to lack any real updates. So I was wondering if there actually was a meeting in Buenos Aires of the drafting team. I was hoping that maybe Klaus or Olivier, if they are on the call, to sort of just let us know and let us know what's going on with that. That would be helpful, especially considering we're going to be talking about it in a couple of days. Oh, Klaus has his hand up. Thanks, Klaus.
Okay, I think Klaus maybe want to give an update here. Klaus, can you speak?
Yes, sorry.
Klaus?
I had problems getting the... Can you hear me?
Klaus, sorry.
Hello.
We have a little... can you speak more louder?
That's very difficult. Then I have to scream.
Okay, that's enough loud now. Yeah, please go ahead.
Keep it very short. I think we are actually still on standby because a drafting team hasn't been properly constituted and has not been put together. I think we are just simply at the moment on standby.
Okay, Klaus, I'm not sure. Yes. Yeah, I can hear you now, Klaus, yes.
Okay, what I just said is I think there has not been any significant movement since Buenos Aires or in Buenos Aires, and I feel we are all on standby, but I have to say that I really found the discussion which is going on in the discussion groups and so on from Adri and others. Very, very helpful, and I encourage everybody to give us their opinion where it should go, how it should go, and what Sam said, and Afri, because I think the better we are informed and the more we discuss it, the more we can actually give quality input. And it seems to be also one of the topics where all interest lies. Of course, it's about money. But if you listen, for example, to the transcript of the IGF USA last week, I mean, it was mentioned at least 20 times. So this seems to be a very high interest topic, but at the moment I don't hear anything.
Okay, thanks, Klaus. I think Hammer wants to ask something. Yes, Hammer.
Yeah, thanks, Rafiq. This is Hammer. And thank you, Klaus. What that actually did remind me of something, some of the discussions on this at the last GNSO Council meeting, in that there has been a bit of trouble sort of populating this drafting team, the charter drafting team with volunteers from different chartering organizations. And to my knowledge, right now, I think the only other AC or SO expressed interest in participating is the at-large or ALAC. I, if I'm not mistaken, that they should have provided their participants or members in that drafting team by now. I know that Olivier Cratin-Leblanc, who is the ALAC liaison to the GNSO Council, volunteered while on the call. But if I'm also not mistaken, the CCNSO, the Country Code Name Support Organization, declined to become a chartering organization in this cross-community effort. Their view seemed to have been that since they were not involved in any way in coming up with the funds, that they don't feel it is appropriate for them to participate in a decision on how to use them. I guess it's all right to also mention now that there has been a bit of a discussion about this on the policy committee list, which is, of course, publicly archived. When this started, I was very much in favor of a cross-community effort to sort of answer the question of what to do with auction proceeds. Now I am a lot less in favor of that than actually, in retrospect, wish that I had sort of a supported more of a GNSO working group approach as opposed to a cross-community working group. I think that ship has sailed. But yeah, just wanted to add that, and thanks, Klaus, for the input, for reminding me of these important points. Thanks.
Thanks, Amit. Okay, just checking here if there is any further question. Okay. Okay, so thanks, Klaus, for the report, and thanks, Amit, for the report, from the council standpoint. Okay, the next agenda item and the last one, in GNSO agenda is about GNSO chair election timetable. So I think it's just about timetable and process. Who can give just here some? Yeah, yes, Alma. Yeah, thanks for volunteering again.
Yeah, thanks, Rafiq. This is Alma, and I just happen to have the timetable in front of me, so I just thought I'd read it out very quickly. September 25th is the deadline for nominating a GNSO Council chair. October 2nd is when candidate statements are expected to be submitted. 17th and 18th of October, there should be some sort of setup of a Q&A, questions and answers with the candidates. I'm not sure if this is supposed to be done over a call or over email, or we don't really have any sort of... Or is that going to be in Dublin? I don't recall the dates of when the meeting in Dublin will take place. That might actually be there, face-to-face. And October 21st, yeah, that probably is in Dublin, because October 21st, the GNSO chair election will take place, which I believe will be at the council meeting then. And then the new chair should, take over in the last council meeting in Dublin, which is the wrap-up, the GNSO wrap-up session. So that's pretty much the schedule. September 25th, deadline for nominations. October 2nd, candidate statements. 17th and 18th will be a Q&A, and October 21st will be the elections. I'm guessing the 17th and 18th of October is when the weekend sessions take place. So that's the schedule. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Hammer. I had some really problem to hear you correctly. Anyway, thanks again. Is there any question or comment? Yes, Bill. Okay, Bill, you have a lot of things around you. Yes, you have really hard time to hear you, Bill. Sorry. Okay, yes, Amo, you want to add something?
Sorry, old hand.
Okay. If there is no further comment here, I guess we can move to the next. Just to move to the update from working group, if there is any public comment that we have to handle. Hello, can you hear me?
Can you hear me now?
Hello. Okay. Stephanie? Please go ahead.
Thanks very much, Rafiq. Stephanie Perrin for the record. I'm just wondering if we could possibly on the next call do a little coordination of the different outreach meetings and various special meetings that we are having or planning to have in Dublin. Well, there was talk about having a half-day privacy meeting at some point. We would need to get an update on what's going on with the human rights group at some point, because that's sort of an extra meeting, and I know there's one planned. We can update you on extra meetings of the PDPs. I can tell you right now there will be what looks to be an all-day meeting of the Privacy Proxy Services Working Group on the Friday before Dublin. So it'd be good to sort of start thinking about how our time is going to be spent in Dublin. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Stephanie. I don't know why I have really hard time to hear you well. But I think just to clarify, the scheduling the planning for Dublin meeting didn't start yet. So we still have time to figure out about the session. For the human rights meeting, I think that's up to the working party to decide what they want to do in Dublin exactly. And that's a discussion within the working party. I'm not sure what you mean by privacy meeting. You think about the PPSIE face-to-face meeting. And I think we will have probably like before some travel support for those who are participating from NCAG. I think we can have this discussion later anyway with getting more detail, but let's hear from other. Yes, Amma, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Mrs. Amma. I was actually going to switch to another topic because you asked open public comment periods. I just wanted to point out that we only have 3 more days to submit input to the open public comment period on the GNSO review. And although I have started working on that, I'm far from done with it. I just wanted to point that out and hope we can move quickly on sort of getting as much input into that as possible and having the policy committee endorse whatever we come up with. Thanks.
Okay, so thanks, Alan. Yes, Ed?
So, agenda. So, my fellow counselors know something that I'll be doing there. In other topics, there is going to be a request for an extension by staff for the preliminary issues report on the new GTLD. James Waddell and I have talked, and although obviously we're going to grant the request, we're getting a bit concerned that staff has to keep asking us for extensions. So we're going to put a question to staff whether they have enough support or whether basically we need to hire more people for them to be able to do their jobs in time. So I just wanted folks to be aware that we're going to actually be doing that at that point.
Okay, thanks. Yes, Amma?
Yeah, thanks, Rafiq, and thanks, Ed, for letting us know about that. That's a valid concern. I would also add that the GNSO Council did submit a comment to the last when ICANN was holding a public comment on its budget and strategic plan, and so the GNSO Council did recommend that there be a higher budget for hiring policy support staff, and it was in response, ICANN has confirmed that they will be hiring 2 more full-time employees and policy staff. So I hope that does help. I hope they are put to use in whatever policy the work that is needed to support the genus. So I guess bringing in new policy support staff is not an easy process. It probably takes a while for them to sort of catch up and sort of figure out how to work with everyone, especially considering the high sort of the very good performance by current policy staff. So I'm not sure how effective that may be in the short term, but in the long run, I hope it does pay off. And yeah, just kind of throw that in as well. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Amr. Okay, we have only, I think, 50 minutes in this call, and to be honest, I have myself a lot of problem to hear Amin well. So I am thinking if we need to stop the pain and to end the call for now. We will have to follow up with the ongoing discussion. We will figure out about what's happened exactly for all the technical issue, which is unacceptable, which made this call really painful for everyone. I'm really sorry for this. We'll try to follow up also for the policy discussion regarding the planning, as suggested by Stephanie. We try to maybe to list all the proposal and suggestion, and then we continue maybe discussion the policy committee list and also with the NCHG list. So I'm really sorry for this. It was not the case like the previous call. And anyway, so okay. I'm not sure. Ed, you wanted to add something, or it's an old hand?
Old hand. Sorry.
Okay. Thanks. I will try to follow up after this. It's unfortunate we have such a situation, but we still have a lot of work to do. So if there is no objection, I will really will call to adjourn the call for today. So it's unusual, but I think that's much better.
Aubrey, you may stop the recordings now. Thank you very much.
Thanks, everyone. Thank you. Bye.